This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Michigan's Schools of Choice program is 20 years old now. In some parts of the state, the competition for students can be intense. Public school districts put up yard signs, much like political yard signs. Families are sometimes offered gifts to sign up for a school out of district. And the number of publicly funded but privately run charter schools has increased, adding to that competition. The Holland Sentinel recently looked at the impacts on the local school districts in that area. The hardest hit has been Holland Public Schools. Joining us now is Superintendent of Holland Schools, Brian Davis. Let's take this chronologically. When Schools of Choice was implemented back in the 1996-97 school year, you were working at a district which benefited Zeeland. Why were the students drawn there?
I think there are a number of factors as to why students were drawn specifically to Zeeland Public Schools. First of all, Zeeland was and continues to be a high-quality school district. They have a strong academic program. They have a rich offering of extracurricular activities. Specifically at that time, I was working as a middle school counselor, and so I often would be an individual who would provide additional opportunities for tours for families who were perhaps looking at school of choice options. What I saw happening at that time, a growing number of families who had concerns regarding the academic performance of specific students or specific populations in Holland Public Schools. And I think part of that happened as Holland became more ethnically diverse.
In the Holland Sentinel piece, you indicated you found stereotype-fueled assumptions about race were behind some of the losses to Holland. What evidence do you have for that?
The piece that was fueled by that was asking about the demographic makeup of schools. The way the media sometimes portrays or the way images are viewed, or as we look at achievement results, students of color have not fared very well in terms of overall academic performance. And there's a whole host of reasons as to why that is. And a lot of times there's a significant intersection with students who live in poverty. If we look at all the research that's been done across our country with respect to the impact of poverty, when we look at the earning wages of African Americans and Hispanics, in many ways it's significantly less than their white counterparts. So I think a combination of all these factors contributed to that. What is documented in the research literature is white flight out of urban city centers. At that time as well, there was civil unrest in the city, and what I mean by that is there was a growing concern of the gang-related activities that were occurring in the central core city. So I think there was a safety piece that was added to that. Unfortunately, at the time, many of the individuals involved in the gangs were members of the Latino community. Then you get these race-based stereotypes that can be broadly put across all individuals, and then people look at, okay, academic performance, how are different subgroups performing? If that population is growing, is the academic standards or achievement levels going to be impacted for my own child?
What percentage of kids living in the Holland Schools District left for other schools?
We've lost, since I've been in the district in 2000, about 40% of our enrollment.
40%. Wow.
It certainly has a significant impact on resource allocation because those students don't always leave all in the same year. They don't always leave from the same building. They don't always leave from the same classrooms. As a school district, every 3 years, we were having to close buildings and realign our grade level infrastructures. That creates a real financial hardship for the district because you aren't able to necessarily reduce teachers over on this side of the district because you have just enough kids that you have to have the extras there, and then it creates a resource gap on the other side of your district.
I want to make sure I understand this. As diversity increases in a school district, some of the wealthier families leave, often white. Poor students, often people of color, are left behind. They don't have the same access to resources at home, and then the test scores at the schools drop. That makes the schools even less attractive. That sounds like a heck of a downward spiral.
The research would indicate that's what happens. I actually did my doctoral dissertation on an impact of school choice and how that impacted Holland Public Schools specifically. And across the United States and even in other countries, when you have the school of choice options in place, individuals look for culture, they look for school safety as part of that, they look for curriculum and academic offerings. And what can happen in urban centers is as a district becomes more ethnically diverse, you actually, as what's documented in the literature, will have and can have a white flight out of the school district. That leaves a less ethnically diverse school district. Now it's more homogeneous. It's just made up of a majority, in our case, Latino students, and a growing number of African Americans, a growing number of students. We have students from 40 different countries now. That can be a rich, very positive experience. But what can happen, though, too, is when you combine the economic factor. For example, 3 out of my 4 K-7 schools that I have now have students where over 80% qualify for free or reduced lunch. When you put that impact of economics on top of that, those that had the resources left the district. If they had the second automobile, if one of the parents didn't have to work a second job, I now have the resources to leave. Those that don't have the resources to leave tend to be, not always, we want to be careful to overgeneralize, those who don't have those extra resources. What can then happen is a second wave of school of choice that will leave the district, and that can actually be your families of color. Families will look at higher rates of free and reduced lunch equated with higher problems of behavior. Unfortunately, the stereotype is racialized from the standpoint of as your district becomes more ethnically diverse, there are those that question the academic achievement levels because some of our subgroups and demographics across the country have been underperforming in the way in which schools are measured in comparison to their white counterparts.
I want to clarify one thing, though. We're not talking about traditional white flight. People aren't leaving Holland necessarily. They're just taking their kids out of the school district. Is that correct?
There are a number of families who actually live in the school district and who take their kids to another school district that's right next door to us.
So what happens to...
Or actually live in our school district and attend one of the 2 charter schools who are right within the school district.
What happens to a community when you have schools closing, you have a lot of kids from the same neighborhood scattered around schools in the region? I mean, what happens to that sense of community?
It impacts sense of community very significantly. I was talking with a colleague of mine who's also superintendent, and even in his neighborhood, he shared that there are about 10 homes and families, and they all send their kids to different schools. What does that mean in terms of parent interaction at the school and involvement in PTO? What does that mean with my kids participating in the same musical this evening? What does that mean for my students playing on the same little league baseball team with their kids at school? What does that mean for my child, you know, at night going outside and playing with the neighborhood kids? I think the unfortunate piece about school choice, and I'm not against school choice, but I think that the whole notion that this was going to bolster the academic achievement and success for all kids, the research is pretty clear that didn't happen. I don't think anyone took time to pause back and say, from a social side, how is this actually negatively impacting neighborhoods and communities? And my research found that it's significantly impacting, where if I don't have the resources to go and send my child somewhere else, I'm actually frowned upon or even may be accused of being a bad parent. You have different resource allocation. I have many families who would love to be able to volunteer in their child's classroom and work and do, but if they're working 2 jobs, just to be able to have a place to live, provide for their children, and food on the table, I can't volunteer. Well, if all my volunteers have now relocated to another school, that impacts what happens in that school community and the relationships that are developed and so on. And so it really becomes a real challenge for schools that have seen that exodus as the economic base shifts, as the individuals are able to volunteer and engage shifts. It really can have a negative impact on community as a whole.
Proponents of schools of choice program argue, though, that this would increase competition among schools. The better schools would attract more students and be rewarded with more state dollars. Didn't anybody foresee these unintended consequences? It seems like if you are aware of human nature, this was bound to happen.
I would have hoped people would have seen that, and I guess I would ask if that was the original impetus behind school choice for Michigan in the first place. I don't know if that was the original piece or not. Has Holland Public Schools gotten better because of school choice? Absolutely. Have we done things just because a charter school did? No, we didn't. We've kept true to our mission and vision, and we've had to readjust that all along the way. There are things that we started in Holland Public that some of the charter schools ended up doing after we did. I think it's helped the entire system grow, but here's the problem. We also had an economic recession during this school of choice period of time, and we've had hundreds of thousands of students leave the state of Michigan. But we increased the number of school districts in Michigan by adding the number of charter schools. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying there's an unintended consequence with that, because now we have larger infrastructure. So as I am demolishing and taking down schools in the same city, we're building a new school for the charter school. That, to me, is not necessarily a good allocation of resources. The infrastructure, just in terms of traveling to and from schools in the morning, you have all these kids who otherwise could be walking to school or taking the provided district transportation to get to school, who are now in all these private automobiles driving to their different areas for their school of choice. There's added cost for that. There's added infrastructure for that. There's added impact on roads and gasoline. There's impact on buildings. There's impact on administration. So as we talk about a shortage to help support our schools in our state from a funding standpoint, we've created more infrastructure to support, which further exacerbates the problem. In a district whose declining enrollment like Holland is, that exacerbates our problem even more. So we have to respond and be able to say, how do we maintain and stay true to our vision? How do we provide supports to a growing number of families who find themselves living in poverty, and recognizing that there are going to need to be additional resources that are needed to help get their kids to where we need them to be?
Brian Davis is the superintendent of Holland Public Schools. Thanks very much for talking with us about this.
You're welcome.